So before we get into everything, we're going to define some terms. So first is LGBTQIA2S plus, etc. It's just a blanket term for people that are not straight, pretty much, I would say. The L stands for lesbian. The G stands for gay. The B stands for bi. The T for trans. A for asexual. 2S for two-spirit. There's a lot of other things that are often added. Q is in there for queer and also questioning. I for intersex, which is a person born with reproductive or sexual anatomy that doesn't seem to fit typical definitions of female or male. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And queer is kind of just a term that would be used to describe, or it wouldn't be used, but it can be used to describe somebody who just isn't heterosexual. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
It's kind of a blanket term similar to LGBT, et cetera, in that it's just a blanket statement, not straight.
Yeah.
So that's how we use it. That's how we're going to be using it.
Yeah. Thanks, Kat.
Yeah, you're welcome. Pride is a celebration of LGBT and queer things.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of pride festivities, and pride, of course, as its own word, is its own word. Yeah. But when used in context of like a pride festival, that means a queer festival, for those who didn't know.
A queer festival or a queer march or just alternative sexualities and sexual identities sort of culminating in a celebration in certain contexts and also in a way that still pays homage, I would hope, to its protest counterculture roots.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, now that we've done defining terms and whatnot, we would love to introduce our guest. So our guest today is Dora Duber, and Dora is a student at UBC studying sociology and classics, and is also our beloved vice president of CITR and radio darling of The Real World and Discorder Radio. So welcome, Dora.
Hello, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so excited. Yeah, I guess like that covers all of it. I also do Discorder Radio with Kat.
Mm-hmm.
And I have identified as asexual for a while. And also, like, I've, like, dipped in and out of agender as well. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And then also, like, I kind of call myself, like a bisexual, asexual person. Because, like, everyone's beautiful and, like, sexy as heck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We could begin by defining our sexualities, if you're comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And then also, what is queer to you? We'll start with Kat.
Okay. Wow. Starting with me. Just put all the heat on me. It's fine. Yeah, I'm a queer woman. It's pretty simple, I guess. And I like anyone of any gender.
It's awesome that you, like, use queer, like, as the identifier. Like,
yeah, because it's, like, I don't even really know.
Yeah.
You know?
That's like, so many people I know right now are just, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm figuring it out still. Like, I guess I'll, like, try these labels on. Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing is, like, I also identify as queer, but, like, I thought that you'd have to know, like, so early on in your life. Like, you'd have mm-hmm. to have, like, oh, like, I always knew that I was. But then, like, no, like, so many of my friends are, like, 20 or, like, 21, like, whatever. And they're just, like, trying to figure it out now, which makes me feel like this is normal. And, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, like, was always, like, oh, lesbian is not the right term for me. Mm-hmm. I know that. For a while in high school, I was, like, pansexual, but that's, like, so, I don't know, like, pretentious.
Yeah, no, I think it's, like, that label or, like, that identity is, like, really well-meaning, and I think it's based and, like, grounded in, like, really solid identity and, like, politics, but it's, like, kind of taken on this form as, like, almost like a parody of a spiritual person, you know?
Yeah.
And it also feels like a really white term. It's like,
yeah,
I'm pansexual. Like, okay, it's like, sure, what does that even mean? Like, do you know?
Yeah, it's like just white girl on Tumblr. So, hi. But yeah, queer, once I like found it, I was like, there it is. That's what it is.
And I think of queer as, like, literally anything. Like, part of why I identify as agender, like, I use they, them, their pronouns because I think, like, gender doesn't gender is an illusion. So, like, mm-hmm. why would I haven't, like, socialized and, like, do identify and perform a lot of, like, feminine attitudes and, like, behaviors. But woman is, like, such an arbitrary label to put on myself, I think, or on anyone, really. I enjoy that, like, gender now has this middle ground of, like, you can be they, them, there, and you can be kind of genderless, or however you interpret that. But, like, sexuality doesn't really have that yet. There's, like, gay and straight, and, like, bi, which, like, is a weird, like, binary kind of thing. Like, pansexual kind of goes into it, but that's also, like, a label. Like, I like queer because it's almost, like, a label-less label that you can put on yourself and identify with.
Yeah. It almost makes people have to, like, ask you more. You know? It's, like, purposefully vague.
But, like, beautifully, poetically vague.
Yeah, it's perfect. Perfect term.
What do you think?
What do I think? I think queer is an excellent word, and I'm... When I was in, like, high school, I remember people defining themselves as, like, either gay, bisexual, or, like, a lesbian or, like, straight, anything like that. But there was never, like, a middle ground that even, like, obscured the idea of, like, bisexuality. And I think that, like, queer is a great way to... I don't know, like, subvert that, because I can be attracted to somebody who doesn't take on either the female or, like, male pronoun by using that term, in my opinion. And, like, yeah, I just, like, hate the gender binary.
Yeah.
That could be, like, the name of the episode. It's, like, the general theme of the episode, we hate the gender binary.
Word.
Yeah.
Also my theme for life.
Yeah, true.
It's actually tattooed all over my body.
Yeah, you can't see it right now. Okay, well, because this is the Pride episode, we're going to talk about Pride 2017, Vancouver. I didn't do very much for Pride this year.
Like, you probably did the most of all of us, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I went to a drag show, and I saw Katya, and it was amazing. It was, but I didn't go to, like, the parade or anything. I really didn't, like, walk on Davey that much. Yeah, I just feel like this year's Pride was, like, especially, not, like, disappointing, but I just found it was, like, a really weird vibe because it was so, like, corporatized. Like, there's just, like, so much pinkwashing. Pinkwashing is basically a term that describes the phenomenon of brands that use, like, LGBTQ, like, issues and, like, movements kind of put forward, like, their own agenda, like, to be, like, we're an ally to the gay community or whatever, but then, like, at the end of the day, you're just selling cell phones, tell us.
Yeah. Not to call anyone out, but... Yeah, I didn't really do anything. I find, like, the march... Like, I find, like, parades kind of, at this point, really toxic to be around, just because it is, like, so corporate. It's like, here's the TD float. Here's, like, your mom's favorite, like, shoe brand float. Like, just, like, random things. Ugh. That really don't have anything to do with Pride, and, like, I also find it really frustrating that because it is Pride, now they, like, decide to be vocal about it at all, like, but it's not regular and they're, like, brand identity at all, which is, I find really bizarre and, like, don't know how they can be comfortable with it. And also I think of Pride as, like, a really subversive idea and, like, really powerful thing, and it's, that's, like, inherently anti-capitalist. So then it's, like, okay, cool. Like, now it's just, like, in the functioning within capitalism, which is bizarre. I had, like, a really brief, but I thought really interesting conversation with the programming director at the station, Madeline, a couple months ago, maybe. And we were talking about Pride or something. We were talking about something, and somehow the parade came up, and she was like, yeah, I was tabling there last year, and actually... The parade I found is, like, really toxic for actual, like, queer people because it's full of, like, white feminists who are like, oh, are you guys gay? And it's like, yeah, maybe I am. Who cares? Like, why are you asking me this? And also, like, I'm working right now. Like, it's, like, a weird opportunity for people to, like, show their, like, false allyship and, like,
yeah, formative allyship.
Yeah, totally. And it's, like, so bizarre and, like, so painful to, like, witness, I find.
It's just a lot of fetishization, too. And, like, white bros that don't really care, that are just like, yeah, gay people are fine, woo, like, cheering
they've
for
accepted
them.
That they're okay now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's like...
But, like, God forbid they actually interact with a gay person, like, in life.
Or be mistaken, like, for a gay person.
Oh, my God. The cardinal sin. No.
Yeah, but I heard that this year, I have a coworker that was talking to me about this year's Pride March, and there was a big controversy because there was float that was the Vancouver police or something, and I don't know if anyone remembers, but, like, in 2016, the Toronto March on Pride was interrupted by Black Lives Matter because one of their demands was to not have any police presence insofar as, like, police wearing, like, you know, police garb and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, like that's another thing that Pride doesn't address at all, is that kind of issue of the tension between like people of color and like the police and like bringing them into Pride. Like, yeah. What is that doing?
And I guess to kind of like explain, to give a bit more context to it, police have often persecuted queer people for years.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to like get ahead of us.
No, go.
But
go. Dive in.
The Pride Parade started because of the Stonewall Riots, which we'll talk about a little later. But the Stonewall Riot was literally a riot against the police.
Yeah.
Like, it's the police have been so violent towards the gay community. And it's like, I think it's so inappropriate to have that mm-hmm. presence there. Because, yeah. like, no, this, like, literally is born out of fighting this very specific organization's presence.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't allowed to, like, march. Like, no, you can't participate in it. Like, you as a human can participate, but you can't wear your uniform and you can't, yeah. like, be celebrating this role, which is, like, that's not to say that, like, all the police are evil, but this is not the time.
Yeah.
This is not the time.
It's incredibly tone deaf.
Yes.
Yeah. And the weirdest place to really, like, put forward, like, performative allyship. Like, if you got, like, a parade float for, like, the Vancouver Police Department, I don't know, just, like, don't. Just don't do that, yeah, because like, it makes everyone uncomfortable.
Yeah, true. And it's like, what have you done?
And it's like, your ignorance is showing, like, yeah. so painfully.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, Black Lives Matter Vancouver, rather, actually posted, I think it was, like, a graphic or something, but basically it was, like, how to support, like, Black Lives Matter, like, during Pride. One of them was to not attend, like, the Pride parade and to, like, not support that kind of, like, corporatization of Pride. And there was a lot of backlash, actually, over the statement, like, don't support, you know, the introduction of cops into, like, and it's just so weird because, like it's such a demand that can be met, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, it's a demand that was demanded. Like, you can't be, like, wait, why are you taking this away from us? It's like, well, clearly we had a really good reason. We're asking you not to do this. We're, like, this is something that we've identified as something that is uncomfortable. Please don't. That, duh. Like, it just feels, like, so logical. But I didn't do anything for Pride.
Right.
I did not go to the parade. I told myself I was going to go to a bunch of parties, and then I was like, I'm not paying $50 for a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another thing about Pride, is that there's, like, a level of, like, financial, like, barriers to entry, mm-hmm. which is, again, like, one of those things where it's like, okay, like, that makes sense, like, everyone wants to go to Junction, like, on Pride. Like, Junction is a club in Vancouver, but
it's a gay bar.
Yes, a gay bar
club.
Yeah,
yeah,
in Vancouver. But, like, still, like, yeah, I was like, this line is an hour long, quite possibly, and the cover is like $50 to get in. I'm not here for that.
And, like, also, I don't find, this is, like, a different piece entirely, but, like, I don't find anything where I have to pay at this point, and then anything where I have to pay more than $10, the people who attend are people who have more than $10 to spare on, like, one event in your evening, when you'll probably, like, I don't usually go to only one event in my night. Like, mm-hmm. it just, like, assumes a wealth, like, level of, like, wealth, not, like, obscene wealth, but just, like, financial, I don't know, expendability that, mm-hmm. like, I don't want to be around.
Just, like, that privilege.
Yeah, like, I don't find that attractive at all.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just a further corporatization, capitalistic gain of Pride culture.
Word.
Just a furthering.
I did go to a, like, it was called, like, Alternative Alt Pride.
Did you go to that?
I did. Oh, it was really tiny. It was just, like, essentially, like, a house party. But just all queer people.
Oh.
Like, it was really nice. Just, like, a bar, and we went downstairs and, like, danced. And it was, like, tiny and, like, very chill. Like, it didn't feel, this is a Pride event, because it was free and because it was so small. But then also, like, that made it feel, I think, that much more, like, I don't know, wholesome. Because it was like, oh, no,
yeah.
like, I'm just hanging out with people. Like, that's so nice.
Yeah, that totally appeals to me.
I think that's the, like, true future of, like, Pride festivities, is, like, grassroots Pride or queer people coming together.
Just hanging out.
Just hanging out. Just existing. Because you don't need to, like, I don't know, like, I am queer, but I don't need to talk about it all the time. I like a lot of other things, too, because, like, guess what? I'm a person. And it's, like, just because of Pride doesn't mean, like, I'm, like, extra queer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just means I want to find people like me.
And I think that I definitely have the same sentiment, and that's, like, not to say that, because I know that the older Pride community, queer community, they had to be really vocal about it, and there was, like, this necessity of, like, celebration and, like, kind of, not, like, loud celebration, but just being, like, I exist, like, really just shouting yeah. that into the mm-hmm. void. So really being vocal about your gayness was, like, so important, mm-hmm. and I think it still is, but I think the culture has changed in a way that, like, it's almost more powerful to be kind of subtle in it.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I totally agree, because, like, I think that we've gotten past the point, like, in North America, in Canada specifically, I guess, mm-hmm. we've gotten past the point where it's, like, we've accepted, like, that gay people exist and, like, they're here, but then, like, to blend into, like, the, like, fabric of, like, society and, like, making it all work without, like, being like, hey, like, I'm also gay and, like, mm-hmm. you know what yeah. I mean? It's hard to explain.
You have to, like, get to the point where, like, oh, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you don't mm-hmm. even have, like, I don't feel the need to share this with you and you don't feel the need to know it. Mm. This isn't, like, and, like, it's an, that's, like, also, like, not to say that, like, you shouldn't share parts of your life. Like, it's who you are and, like, be vocal about it. Like, talk about it. But, like, if you don't, I think it's, like, so important to just be able to be like, yeah, whatever, this is who I am, but, like, we can move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's, those are the goals of Pride, I would hope. But, mm-hmm. yeah, it's hard to tell right now because, like, as I said, there's just, like, a crazy amount of corporatization and, like, yeah. all of that stuff.
Really, a like, hefty amount.
Yeah, it really, like, takes away. Good word.
Yeah, good word.
But yeah, it just, like, takes away from, like, the general message and what we've been meaning this whole time.
And it feels like actively counter it. I don't know. Like, it just, it feels like a step backwards.
Yeah, it's almost like corporations were like, okay, being queer is okay, and just kind of took this really narrow description of it and just ran with it. And it's like, wait, there's so much more. Mm-hmm. There's so many, like, intricacies. Just because you've heard a certain perspective doesn't mean you know all perspectives and things like that.
And we will continue our discussion on queerness and pride after just a little song and some ads. Woo!
New York isn't New York without you, love. So far in a few blocks to be so low. And if I call you from First Avenue, we're the only motherfucker in the city who can handle me. New love wasn't true love, back to you, love. So much for a home run with some blue bloods. If I in the city who can stand me.
know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Powerful, motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
All Access Pass is back for season two. We are a collectively run weekly program that discusses equity, inclusion, and accessibility issues on and off UBC's campus, including both visible and invisible disabilities. You can catch All Access Pass every Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Anyone can get involved. No experience is necessary. People of all abilities are welcome to join. Check us out on Facebook at All Access Pass or get involved by emailing accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Double Space on CITR 101.9 FM, and we have Dora Duber in studio.
Hello!
To talk about pride and queerness and all those great things. So, the next thing we're going to talk about is Philly's pride flag this year featured a brown and black stripe to commemorate people of color that are also queer. Mm-hmm. And it received mixed reactions from all ends, from everyone. It was just kind of like, this is bold, but what is it saying?
What do you guys think of it?
Okay, when I first heard about it, I was like, this is wonderful, and it seems like a good step in the direction of acknowledging, like, mm-hmm. different lived experiences of queer people, and, like, the fact that LGBTQA is not just like this beautiful like flag that we have crafted, and it just like says like, yes, we're here. There's also like lots of oppression and like people who are in that community that don't feel welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good step forward, but again, like, I'm sure there's like different perspectives on this that say that it might be oppressive in some way too.
Yeah. And I think that like a big critique of the LGBT community in general is that it's very white and it's very separated from people of color. And I guess the sentiment is good in that it's like recognizing that there is that problem within the community. But another part of me wonders like how effective it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I'm like on the same page. It kind of feels like with this like whole pinkwashing of Pride, like Pride, it kind of feels just like, yeah, like a company was like, okay, this is what we have. This is a problem. Let's easy fix this. Let's put more color. Like it just kind of feels like a really like thought of, but not very like thoughtful fix to this thing.
Yeah. And it's like, it's kind of like, oh, we fixed it. This is us fixing it.
Yeah, like, boom, two new colors. Like, you're welcome.
There's no more oppression.
We did it.
Look at our flag.
Yeah, it seems like a very, like, lazy take on actually addressing the issues that affect, like, POCs that are, you know, queer.
But also, like, a take. I think it is, like, I think it is important to be like, well, like, they were someone thought, recognized this as an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, someone tried to do something about the case.
But I don't think it was like very effective.
I like to come from the mindset that they were really, I don't know, that they meant a lot of well with this. Like the people that made it were like, this is a really significant problem. We should show that we like care. I'd like to think it comes from that sort of place.
I wonder who thought of, like, I want to know who the team was behind. I asked this question and instantly the keyboards start going. I want to know what the conception really was. I want to know if it was, like, it was, like, debuted in Philadelphia. I want to know if it was, like, a city decision or, like, a pride decision.
Apparently, they have a More Color, More Pride campaign, which strives to create an even more inclusive community. So they, like, have some things in place.
So it is a city, it's a citywide thing. The director of LGBTQ affairs, like, is the person who kind of, like, debuted it, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that says a lot. A, I think it speaks to the, like, limited. Yes, it is something, but it's also, like, you put the colors on the flag. I don't know, like, that it's, like, kind of like, oh, we'll just, like, print a bunch of more flags. What? But then also, as a city initiative, it probably was limited in, like, what they were allowed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then also, then work to make it more inclusive, like, work to, like, have the city spaces be more inclusive. Like, it feels like, oh, you work for the city. Shouldn't you be, like, putting money into, like, something? Shouldn't you be, like, developing programs or, like, developing, mm-hmm. like, spaces and, like, community, like, actual, like, community, like, inclusion?
Yeah, like, something, investing your money in, like, something for, like, youth, like, LGBTQ youth, mm-hmm. or, like, just poverty in that, like, domain specifically, too. Like, I just think there's better ways to spend that money. But visibility is important, too.
Yeah. At the same time, though, it's, like, a very simple and pretty easy to carry out goal of just, mm-hmm. okay, like, just simply let's put more colors on. Obviously, there's more we need to do, but this is something we can do right now.
Yeah, like a baby step almost?
Yeah, like a baby step. So
that's fair.
That.
And it is...
Also,
No, go ahead.
But I would just like to add that the person that unveiled it, the head of the LGBT committee for Philadelphia, is Amber Hikes, who is a person of color. That feels important to add.
Yeah, I agree. And also, like, I was thinking of, like, when you said, like, LGBTQ youth programs, like, I think, like, a big thing that, like, would help a lot of people would, like, oh, yeah, like, you could be gay. Like, being, just, like, having that, like, as a, like, visible opportunity or, like, visible thing that, like, could be an identity that they could relate to. And, like, seeing it on the flag is a very kind of, like, loud, like, you could be gay. Like, mm-hmm. this could be you. Like, mm-hmm. you would be, you on this flag and you in this community makes sense.
Yeah, and it, like, addresses the intersectionality of just, like, being queer and mm-hmm. all that. But I was thinking more, like, along the lines of, like, you know, having it, like, put in schools and stuff, just being like, hey, like, you know, if you're a queer person who, like, is in junior high and you, like, hate your life, what is going on? It's, like, okay. And, like, we have resources for you. Like, that's what I think is, like, super important, especially for, like, young people.
We did find a fascinating article about it that I thought was, like, it was very angry.
Yeah.
It was, like, very angry. And it really, like, planted the whole thing in, like, this idea of like, colonialism.
Yeah, it was written by Kalanda Mulambe and Naya Bingi M and the African People's Socialist Party.
Do you want to, like...
I'm sorry if I butchered those names. I'm sorry. But yeah, so they posted an article on the Burning Spear, which is the official organ of the African People's Socialist Party. They basically called the new Philly flag white opportunism. Yeah, they were really upset about it.
What was their main argument that it was white opportunism?
They kind of spoke a lot about the oppression of colonialism and things like that, parasitic capitalism related with the pride flag itself, I believe.
Oh, I see. And then to, like, add these two stripes of color would just be, like, kind of a slap in the face and, like, putting them in that position, imposing it on them almost?
Kind of, yeah.
It, like, the sentence, like, strikes me as, like, for gay whites, the gay flag is a representation of their struggle for acceptance and into the colonial status quo, achieving similar colonial white power to their heterosexual counterparts. So it's just, like, an equalizing for queer white people that still leaves people of color, like, kind of in the dust.
It's also, like, conforming to colonialism, you know, kind of, like, marking people who don't, I guess, otherwise fit in, like, normal colonized culture kind of, like, shows their, like, efforts to, like, fit in eventually. And a lot of people don't have the desire to fit into the colonized homogeny.
I just wanted to mention it because it feels like a perspective that, like, I would never... It already is, like, a thing that, like, I feel kind of tentative about. Like, it doesn't sit well, but it also doesn't sit, like, super poorly. Whereas, like... But I also am inclined to be like, well, like, it probably was good. Like, mm-hmm. I want to, like... be generous and or like be like optimistic in that way. But it's like, I think it is like a really valid criticism. There are like really valid reasons to like not support this, or like some people, I can see a lot of people being like hurt by it. I also think that like it's kind of important also like mention that like a bunch of different identities have their own flags as well, like outside of the greater pride rainbow kind of structure. Like asexuality has its own flag, bisexuality has its own flag, trans has its own flag. Like the different identities like have their own colors and have their own like formats and whatever, which I just think is cool. Like it's cool that all the identities like have their own like subset of visual representation.
Yeah, and I think that's great because like sometimes the commercially like, what is it called, like thought of pride flag doesn't necessarily like encapsulate like what it is that you stand, or like what your sexuality is, or like what you stand behind. So it's like really important that different like ways of representation exist. But yeah, anyway, as we are going to move on to our next topic, which is, so we're kind of trying to address a bit of the history of Pride, and a lot of the history of Pride comes back to the Stonewall riots in New York, and just generally like Pride being a protest and a march against the mainstream, just against the mainstream.
It happened at the Stonewall Inn in the 70s, I believe. And basically, the Stonewall Inn was a place where a lot of queer people went to, a lot of transgender people, a lot of drag queens, and particularly lower-income people. This was, a bar in a lower-income area, and they would often frequent that facility, and the police knew about it. And they would often about monthly raid the place and arrest anyone that was doing anything like too gay. And I even read that they would arrest women if they didn't have more than 3 pieces of feminine clothes on. Yeah, sickening. Yeah, but it was a known place to get raided. And eventually the people that frequented it just stood up and there was a riot and violence broke out and people just stood up.
It was started by a specific woman.
So yeah, Marsha P. Johnson was the one who pretty much...
She threw the first brick.
Yep.
She like made it, she made it a riot versus like just kind of an angry, hurt group of people.
Yeah, and just a little bio about her from the Massachusetts Transgender Political Coalition. Marsha, quote, pay no mind, unquote, Johnson, was an activist, performer, model, sex worker, and mother figure to many young trans women in New York during her lifetime. A figurehead of the transgender community in Greenwich Village, Johnson was one of the first Stonewall instigators and was deeply influenced by her experiences being homeless and hustling for survival. Along with fellow trans activist Sylvia Rivera, she founded Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries, or STAR, in 1970. STAR provided shelter, clothes, and support for young homeless trans women and drag queens. Johnson and Rivera worked tirelessly to ensure that those she cared for did not have to engage in sex work or find other high-risk activities for income. But yeah, so she was an incredibly important figure. And she did a lot of good for the community.
This just obviously reminds me of the Hollywood take on Stonewall. Does anyone remember the film?
I never saw it.
You never saw it? Okay. Well, basically, like, this is a short detour, but, like, there was a Hollywood adaptation of Stonewall, like, just the situation that happened in Stonewall in the 70s, and it basically starred a white man who was playing, like, what Marsha P. Johnson's character would be. But he's just, like, a cisgender, like, gay man, white gay man. And the movie, like, tanked. Good.
Shocking. You
know? Yeah. Because there was so much, like, outcry against it. Because, like, it's just ridiculous. Like, such a blatant, like, erasure of history.
Yeah. I just feel like it's very important to underline that trans black women were so crucial to the point we're at now.
Heck yeah.
And, like, it needs to be acknowledged more, which is, like, understandably, like, what I guess the pride flag in Philadelphia, like, to go back, is trying to address. But, yeah, I just, like, we should do, like, we can do more.
Yeah.
We can do more.
We can do more. Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Also, another important figure in queer LGBT history is Harvey Milk, who I'm very partial to because I'm from San Francisco. And
okay, got.
But basically, he was the first openly gay elected official in the United States. He was elected mayor of San Francisco in, what was it, about the 70s? Yeah, around then. But, I mean, it was a big deal because suddenly queer people were getting this representation of not only are we here and we exist, but we deserve to be represented in politics.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, in a position of power.
Yeah.
In a position of, like, being able to, like, create legislation or, like, create initiatives that would, like, within this mindset of benefiting and considering a population.
Yeah. And isn't it, like, an interesting, the fact that somebody is in a position of power to, like, pass legislation who is queer and, like, people who are, like, gay have been, like, fighting their whole lives to, like, even be acknowledged as, like, people or, like, to have certain rights, like, I don't know, it's just like, a meaningful, like, image in my mind.
Yeah. Like, Barack Obama. He's amazing.
Dope. I love Barack Obama.
Like, I think that, like, politics are really gross. I mean, they're, yeah, like, pretty much, like, just the modern perpetuation of colonialism.
Yep. I agree completely.
So it is, like, kind of bizarre. Because the first thing I thought of when I think of Harvey Milk is the movie Milk. Who Sean Penn played Harvey Milk?
I know.
Yeah.
And Sean Penn is trash, so whatever. But there's one scene, I saw it a really long time ago, but there's a scene that stands out in my brain where, like, his old friends who he, like, used to hang out with are like, you don't hang out with us. Like, you aren't even, like, in the community that much anymore, which is, like, so painful. But, and also I think really unfair, like, someone who is gay is, like, always gay. Like, they're never gonna, like, stop being part of this community, even, like, not do activities that they used to do, but because, like, Harvey Milk was running for mayor, like...
Yeah, he's a busy guy.
Yeah! Yeah. And, like, Barack Obama, I think, is, like, an amazing human. I also think he's, like, really preppy and, like, probably, like, I think he valued a lot of things that I value, but then also, like, was, like, he was so wealthy. He, like, made so much money and, like, functioned as a really wealthy person. So, like, when I think that the first of, like, a minority person in, like, high, like, in, like, government and, like, politics is so fascinating because they are coming from this place of, like, a minority underrepresented background, but then also, like, functioning in this, like, mainstream, like, white, rich, het world.
Yeah
I just think it's so, I think that's just, like, I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, like, what the first person is like, because it's like, okay, like, you have this one quality, but then, like, you have to make up for the fact that you are this, like, certain minority, you have to, like, pander is maybe not the right word, but, like, you kind of have to, like, appeal to the general population by,
like,
doing
conform.
These other things. Yeah, conform. Mm-hmm. That's probably the right word.
But while also, like, being, everyone is very aware that you, like, don't conform in a specific way. Endlessly fascinating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Harvey Milk, really good movie. Milk.
Yeah. It is a good movie. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Although, why couldn't you get a gay person to play Harvey Milk? I don't know.
At
That's
least,
just
like,
a question.
Not a question. An anti-Semitic, like, abuser. That would be sick.
That would have been perfect.
That, I mean, a dream.
I would have really liked that.
Speaking of LGBTQA in the media, boom! Let's talk about our favorite gay films, or just, like, queer films, or, like, just queer media, period.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. I love Xavier Dolan, Kat. Love
yes,
Xavier Dolan.
I do too.
Dora, do you love Xavier Dolan?
I do love Xavier Dolan.
No.
Yeah. So he's our Canadian fledgling, oh, baby film darling that I love personally. And I think that, like, his first film debut was when he was at 17. It was called I Killed My Mother. Dora's rolling her eyes because we will never be him.
We will never be him. But also, like, that was his first film that he made. He'd been modeling for, like, years. He's so cute. He's, like, the most attractive person in the world. And then also, like, a cinematic genius. It's, like, blows my mind.
You can't have it all, but he does. So, yeah. And then what other amazing queer media have you consumed?
I watched Heartbeats when I was, like, a teenager, and we randomly had, like, the Sundance channel on my TV for some reason.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty dope. Anyway, yeah, I watched Heartbeats, and I was like, what? I was so young and I'd never seen like queer people in a story.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie is about these two friends. One is a woman and one is a man. They both fall in love with the same guy.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice.
And sad because it's like, who does the guy actually love? And also, like, can they be friends while they both love this person? So it's, like, things that I'm sure, like, friends of the same gender would, like, relate to. Like, it's an incredibly relatable story. But on top of that, it's, like, there's this, like, man who is, like, attracted to this other man. And there could be some sort of, like, chemistry going on between them.
Mm.
And that representation was really important.
Great bi representation as well. Excellent.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I like probably the first thing that comes to my brain is like as an asexual person, I like always I'm like hyper aware of like any asexuality. I live with my sister who also identifies as asexual and we talk about it constantly. My favorite is Todd from BoJack Horseman.
Oh.
Yeah. At the end of the last season, he was like hanging out with this woman who he'd had like a maybe relationship with, like there were definitely a lot of feelings there and they had a lot of history, but she was kind of confused and wasn't really sure what was going on, and she was like, are you gay? Like, you don't seem to want to hang out with me, and you like me but you don't like me, what's going on? And he was like, no, I'm not gay, like I don't think I'm anything. And she was like, cool. It was funny because throughout the season Claire and I were watching it and we were like, lol, maybe Todd's ace, and then like they would never do that, and then at the end like he kind of came out as ace, which is like so, like, we like, paused it, and we're like, oh, my God, how did this happen? So that was really cool. A celebrity who I love? I've been thinking about this a lot. I think this, like, speaks more to, like, how I express my sexuality or, like, don't kind of, like, choose not to express my sexuality almost, is I love Tyler, the Creator, and SZA right now.
Mm.
Yeah.
They both recently came out with albums. SZA came out with Control. Tyler, the Creator, came out with Flower Boy. Both are amazing. Google them. But they both, like, subtly came out. So, like, SZA has a song where she's like, I look up to my ladies, I've dated a few. And then just, like, whatever the song keeps going. And that line has gotten no press. But that's, like, her being like, yeah, I'm queer. I've dated women. Which is, like, so again like powerful, like it was just like I'm just gonna put this in my song because like it makes sense to my experience, but also like who cares, we'll just move on right away. And then Tyler the Creator produced a song, I forget which one it is, but he's like, this next line is gonna have you like, whoa, I've been kissing white boys since 2004. And everyone was like, Tyler's queer. And I was kind of like, yeah, duh, like mm-hmm. And like he has not spoken on that like at all, but it's like I think, like, so beautiful that they just were like, here's the thing. Like, this is me. This is me expressing my sexuality, like, in my art. And, like, moving on. Like, it doesn't even matter. Who cares?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another person that I really like is Alana Glazer in Broad City. Like, she was another one of those people that was, like, the OG, like, me coming into my sexuality. Just seeing her was just like, oh, my God, here's someone who's just, like, super into anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Just goes for it.
And she just, it's like, whatever.
I watched a really funny interview with her and Andy Cohen. And, like, it was, like, a call-in show. And the guy called in that was like, hey, like, how far, it was kind of a silly question, but it was like, how far have you dipped into the lady pool? And Alana was like, the deep end. Like, all in, like, duh. It was just like, yeah, amazing. Like, you're so fabulous.
She's honestly such a, like, queer icon. Like, quite frankly.
Truly.
And, like, the show is hilarious. Like, Broad City. And just everything she does is great. And on top of that, she's just, like, so vocal and, like, I think confident about her sexuality. I think that's really what, like, makes her an icon is that she's just confident and she just brings it up when it's relevant and just goes on with the rest of her life.
For me, actually, it's kind of, it's a long time ago, but my first, like, introduction or like brush into like queerness or like, oh, not everything is straight was when I was 11. I was the biggest fan of Tegan and Sarah, and I found out that they were both twin like sisters that were both lesbians, and I was like, oh, like and I was like, wow, that's like, that's amazing that like I look up to these two women so much and they both just happen to be, you know, queer or like gay, and I just like had no idea, like regardless of their sexuality, I was still like so in awe of them. And then as I like got older, I was like, oh, like I'm also like really good looking, and like, oh, like this makes so much sense that I liked them so much. Anyway,
that's such a classic.
When you're like, I just really like them like a lot, and you just can't like.
But I just like you so much.
I just want to spend all my time with you.
We have like, there's like a really beautifully colored list that like I'm reading that we just have in front of us that Tintin and Kat came up with that I like love. I think Fake Ocean is amazing. Dan Savage.
Yeah.
Don't like Dan Savage.
You don't like Dan Savage?
Dan Savage said that people who identify as asexual are lying to themselves and that asexuality doesn't exist.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. No.
And like, I want to, like, I know that he's done like a lot of really amazing things, and I'm like not like fully team, like, frick Dan Savage. And this isn't like a Dan Savage exposed.
Yeah.
But like, I find him like really problematic.
Have you heard of the purple red scale of sexuality?
No, but I want to look at it.
Okay, but do you know what the Kinsey scale is?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically for people who don't know, the Kinsey scale is like a rating system. It's between 0 and like 6. 0 being like you are totally heterosexual, and then 6 being like you are gay. So this is the red-purple scale of sexuality is basically like something that someone, I don't know who it was that made it, but basically they made it, and it introduces attraction type or attraction level into the equation. So I'm unveiling this to Dora for the first time.
Oh
right
my God,
now.
I'm like so excited.
So basically it has, okay, to describe it, it's like a graph. It's got like a Y and an X axis, and on the X axis is orientation, so like the gender of the person that you're attracted to. And then the attraction type is the y-axis, which is basically like A, like 0 or A is like asexual. Like you have no attraction in like the romantic scope whatsoever. And then F being like hypersexuality is like just like I am so into the sex. and then, yeah, so basically the rest of it follows the Kinsey scale, which is 6 to 0.
I'm like about to cry.
Isn't it beautiful?
This is so beautiful. Oh my God. I'm like overwhelmed. Yeah, it goes from like aromantic, like another thing that I think is like really important to like differentiate is like sexuality and romantic relationships, like they are not mutually exclusive at all. So there's like aromantic and then romantic and then like tertiary, secondary, primary, and hyper. I can't even deal with how much I appreciate this and like how beautiful it is.
Yeah, I just like, I also love the idea of like having a scale and like almost like a mathematical like approach to like sexuality, because like I don't love like being like, oh, you're fluidity and like sexuality is like awesome and dope, but like to even like have a label for something sometimes is just like so validating.
Yeah, and like I know on like our like convo list there was like bisexuality and like is that term even like relevant anymore. I think it's really problematic, like the gender binary doesn't exist.
We completely agree, and we're gonna get into that.
But I do know someone, like, a celebrity who I really like is this YouTuber, Gabby Dunn.
Oh, yeah. I listen to her podcast.
Yeah, she's amazing. She identifies as bisexual because when she was younger, it was the only word that she had to describe how she was feeling. That was so valuable for her. Like, I think that, like, labels are, like, kind of silly. Like, why do you even need this? Like, who cares? But then to have that and be able to, like, ground yourself, because a label also means that, like, someone else identified with this enough to say that this is how they felt. So like being able to be like, oh, like I'm like D5, like I'm may develop lustful feelings but not at first, and like mostly attracted to the same sex, like to be able to like say this and like have this like grounded in like not only your experience but like someone else experiencing it is like so fantastic.
We should share the red-purple scale of sexuality with everybody.
Yeah, it'll be up on our site.
You might cry.
Yeah, Dora almost cried. Yeah, like when I handed her this laptop, she, like, tears were welling up.
Yeah, I was like, we're going to have some actual tears in this podcast.
I feel like listeners might think that they're kidding. They are not.
I'm not kidding.
Quite
like,
moved.
I've never seen you make that face before.
It was so lovely.
It was, like, very raw. It was very real.
Oh, oh my God.
I'm curious, Dora, about your experience as an asexual person.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know how, like, not qualified, but, like, I don't feel 100% comfortable, like, being, like ace all the way, because, like, I do, I mean, but that is also part of why, like, I find Dan Savage really frustrating is, like, he was like, you're only asexual if you have never experienced sexual attraction or, like, have never had sex and, like, never done anything that might be considered, like, romantic and sexual, because otherwise, clearly you're attracted to that person. And that's, like, kind of like being, like, a woman who identifies as gay having sexual relationships with men because, like, the world is so hetero, and then being like, oh, actually, I'm a lesbian. Like, mm-hmm. But, like, no, you're not because you slept with men before. And, like, while the world, like expects heterosexuality and, like, that is the established norm, the actual established norm is sexuality. The world is hyper-sexed, especially in the...
I agree.
Yeah, like, in a ridiculous way, I've, like, definitely, like, I've had sexual relationships, and, like, they haven't been really fulfilling for, like, a lot of different reasons. I don't know. And I think that's also why I appreciate the asexual, like, label, is, like, I can not know, and, like, I've, like, accepted it in a way that, like, I don't feel weird that I don't, like, feel sexed or, like, feel the... Like, I feel comfortable in not participating in this, like, aspect of North American culture. Mm-hmm. It is a little frustrating because, like, especially the world that we live in or, like, I function in, like, people are, like, really, like, into, they're, like, very politically correct and, like, very welcoming and very understanding. Mm-hmm. But this is one thing that, like, no one really understands. I think, like, for the most part, like, really amazing allies or, like, really conscious of their allyship in a lot of ways, because, like, this culture is, like, so sexualized and sexuality is, like, so assumed that, like, if I ever, like, a lot of my friends know that I identify as asexual, but if I'm ever, like, that person's cute, or, like, oh my god, like, yeah, like, I made out with this person, like, there's a lot of, like, oh, okay, so do you want to, like, date them and have sex with them? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't think so. Like, it's a really... It's a really bizarre switch flip, I think, that not a lot of people can really get behind. But, like, in the same way in that I think, like, bisexual people experience, like, a lot of difficulty with, like, settling down with a specific or, like, with a gendered partner, it would, like, negate their bi identity. Like, the same way I kind of am like, oh, like, if I got a partner, people wouldn't think I was ace anymore. Like, like, that wouldn't be, that just, like, would be, like, a phase that I went through. Because also, like, asexuality doesn't mean that you don't feel, like, sexual pleasure. Like, if I have sex, like, my sexual organs work.
Yeah.
I just, like, don't really feel the desire to, like, seek that experience out. So, like, if I was in a partnership, I probably would have sex with my partner. That doesn't, like, not because I didn't want to, but it wouldn't be, like, for me. I don't know.
No, it's true, though, because, like, when you're in a relationship, there's, like, sort of, like, a give-and-take sort of thing.
Yeah.
And people have needs, and, like, as a partner, you, like, kind of, like, give them, and, like, obviously, like, you know, you have to be, like, respectful and consent, like, the whole way.
Yeah.
But you do, like, give some.
Yeah. And, like, that's something that I'm, like, really aware of and, like, know, and part of why... Not to get, like, too personal, but, like, part of why I've been, like, single for so long is I'm, like, I don't know if I'm ready to, like, do this.
I respect that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This, like, has made me feel weirdly, like, more like, no, you're okay, you're asexual. Like, it's fine. Sometimes yeah. I need to, like, talk myself down a little bit because I'm like, wait, what?
It's also, labels are so, it can be really confining because it's like,
yeah,
I am this, but there's fluidity throughout it. You can be anything.
You could be a rainbow.
Yeah, sure. Well, do it.
I think, not to get back to the flag,
but... Go back if you wanna.
I enjoy the... I think the idea of a rainbow is, like, really powerful, but I think it's really funny that the flag is, like, these stark lines. Like, the point of the rainbow is that it, like, blends into each color and there's, like, gray area between colors, but the flag is just, like, here's the red line. You... identify as, like, with this red identity. Like, here's the orange line. Here's the... And it's like, what? No, where's my middle ground?
That is so true.
Thank you. I think that, like, people saying... Like, and it is true. I agree that, like, sexuality is fluid. But, like, the fluidity is in the gray area. I think, like, the whole point is that, like,
there is a gray area. Like, it's not fair to say sexuality is fluid and then be like, so you're gay and now you're bi. Like, yeah. That, it's like, no, calm down. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the origin of the flag, it was, like, red stood for, like, some key trait of the gay community, and then, like, orange stood for, like, another trait.
Oh, really?
They, like, stand for traits.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good. For some reason, I thought that they stood for sexuality. That makes me feel better,
It's fair, because, I mean, there's a lot of, like, sexualities that, like, use certain colors in their flags, and then as, like, offshoots, but it started as just, like, I think, like, classic, like, just good characteristics of things. You know, like, good characteristics of, like, a community.
Yeah, like, courageous, kind.
Yeah exactly. But that's where it originates, but it could probably use an update.
Heck yeah. Yeah. That's what I like. Another thing that the, like, article, what was it, the mm-hmm. Fire Burning Spear article?
My laptop's dead.
was that they were like, yeah, it's like, and something that I think about a lot is, like, yeah, it's like an update, but it's, like, still within the established white structure. Like, why would you, like, why take the step to change something if you're not going to, like, create something new? Like, there's clearly an issue that you're trying to address, but, like, why function within this, like, pre-established structure when, like, no, that structure sucked. That structure was, like, inadequate. Make a new structure. Actually go for inclusion.
Mm-hmm. In a good way, divergent of colonialism, there's the term two-spirit, which I got to sit down with the curators of a recent queer arts festival offshoot, Unsettling Gender Boundaries, which was just a showcase of two-spirit individuals. And I got to speak to them about what two-spirit was and what it meant to them. And it was really interesting because they both said that they didn't identify with the term two-spirit, like, bluntly, like, they themselves wouldn't necessarily automatically use that identification, but the term two-spirit is almost like queer and that it's like a beacon, you know? It's like a very broad term for just meaning queer and indigenous.
Cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's amazing.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and when I was talking to them, they were like, yeah, some nations, like, don't believe in, like, the two-spirit thing. Like, they have a different sort of ideology, or, you know, they have something different or something like that. So it's not fitting to everyone to say that, but it's like a calling card for Indigenous queer. You're welcome.
That's awesome. Because like, I've heard that term pretty much exclusively in, like, academic settings. Now I'm thinking there are two issues with it. One, it's always like, oh, it's a term for, like, someone who is, like, born in, like, a sex and, like, doesn't, like, identify with the gender associated with that sex and, like, performs whatever gender they want to, kind of. But then also, the second part of that is, like, and wow, weren't the Indigenous people, like, so welcoming and, like, so, like, open-minded and, like, progressive? Like, there, I think there is, like, in, like, the way that it's been, that term has been, like, presented to me, it's, like, a very, like, fetishized and, like, wow, like, aren't we, like, appreciating Indigenous, like, mindset right now? And, like, yeah, it's, like, awesome that that term was included, and, like, I'm grateful to learn about it, but no, like, within Indigenous communities and, like, among different nations, like, there are different feelings and, like, different attitudes towards this thing. Like, it's not, you can't put that blanket on, like,
yeah,
that identity.
It's not clean cut. It's no. I was also, in my interview with them, they were talking about how modern Indigenous people are, some of them really are not welcoming to people of queer identification, Indigenous or otherwise. They've kind of accepted the colonial sort of mindset, and they've kind of acclimated to that. And so they're just as, you know, homophobic as anyone else.
And also, I think that's what's significant, again, about the Pride flag is African-American queer people, specifically African-American trans women, are, like, have the most violence done against them in, like, out of the entire queer community. I think they're the single most, I don't want to say, like, violated, but, like, affected by violence, that population, out of the entire U.S. population. That has a lot to do with, like, the white structures and, like, racism and, like, homophobia in the like established capitalist structures, but also like there's been within the Black community, there's been a lot the like machismo like idea and identity, which is like sick, like express it, like, and like be as express your identity and like your gender and like community as you like as like feels right and like as you want to. But that's also like quite hard for like, I think Moonlight was a really amazing movie because like Black boys like can't be gay, like that's just like not an identity that is really, I don't want to say like supported, but like it doesn't fit in with the idea of like the hypermasculine man that is like really prevalent. And like there's a lot of homophobia in like those like communities and like a lot of violence done against these populations that like aren't necessarily, that like I think do have a lot to do with the fact that it like you already like have this strike of race against you, like don't also be like effeminate, like don't also like have this other like marginalizing identity. It's just dangerous.
I've heard about like a few parents that are like, I just hope my kids aren't gay just so they won't be like persecuted or whatever. And I mean, first of all, I think that's a total cop-out. I think you're just homophobic. But secondly, I don't know. That's just like, if you are, if it's 2017, if you move somewhere that's liberally accepting, you're probably going to be fine. Like, I feel safe in Vancouver.
With like the addendum that like, I think there are a lot of microaggressions. Like, I think like pretty much every gay couple will probably get like a look when they walk down the street together. If it were people of colors, it'd be like, if one or both of the people in the partnership were people of color, it would be like 20 more looks. Like,
that's true.
I think the standards of like noticeability are just like way higher, which can like feel, I think, quite aggressive and like unwelcoming.
Definitely. At the very least, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of space in Vancouver to improve on those aspects. There's some amazing things happening, though. Like, Elastic Collective is amazing.
What is that?
So it's this, it's like a queer youth, like, they just put on queer youth events and queer people of color, just all that intersection. Yeah, they teach queer and people of color and women and non-binary how to DJ. And it's just beautiful because it's such a male-dominated
environment. It's such a male-dominated environment. Like, it feels like such an obvious hole, like a need, like a hole of need that they, like, really conveniently filled. And not conveniently filled, but, like, saw such, like, a huge need for it. And we're like, we're just gonna make that happen. Like, we will teach people who don't really have access to the space to, like, make electronic music.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
And I actually just recently, today, like, a few hours ago, had an interview with the person who organizes this magazine called Contrast, which is literally about queer POC, people of color. And, yeah, it's just the same vibes. Just, they need representation. And it was lovely to be a part of that. There's great things going on.
Yay! The world is looking up.
And
like, also, sorry, I'm just like jumping all over the place. But like Pride, the Pride Parade, I was talking to my sister about it. And she was like, it's really fascinating to see how like, I love the word pinkwashed. I'm going to use it all the time. How like pinkwashed Pride has become. Because it literally started as like a death march. Like the first Pride Parade was gay men being like, we're dying of AIDS. All of our friends and, like, family are dying. Like, you need to help us. Like, we need help. And, like, now it's, like, get your, like, rainbow popsicles at, like, this stand or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's just, like,
here comes the Facebook float.
Yeah.
Oh, look at all the rainbows.
And, like, it's cool that so many queer people, like, can come together and have the space to celebrate themselves. But it is so bizarre. It's like so bizarre.
It is. So I didn't really do anything for Vancouver Pride. I was kind of working, but I did go to San Francisco Pride when I was visiting home. It was kind of beautiful to be in that space because there were so many people. Like, it was just packed with people. And it was just kind of nice because like a lot of people were dressed up, and it's like, even if you like aren't gay, even if you don't, like, really care about the issues, I know that you're not going to hurt me.
Yeah.
And it was just nice to, like, be in this huge space with so many things going on, just to know, like, these people, if you told them that you were queer, they wouldn't feel any negative reactions to you.
Yeah.
And it's, like, even beyond, like, worrying about safety, it's just constantly in, like, a general open space. It's like, am I going to be accepted as a queer person?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's I think, the part of Pride that I still really like.
Yeah, same.
It's just being that safety and being able to celebrate and being able to be vocal.
What a beautiful end, I think.
Yeah. Just coming just, like, together.
Wholesome as heck. You're queer and beautiful and fabulous.
Oh, my God. You too. Yeah, I mean, it's just all about creating community. Find people like you, talk to them about your experiences, listen to their experiences, and keep listening. Yeah.
Two, double space.
Yeah. Yeah. On CITR 101.9 FM. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, guys.